now it's locked on Heat. Biscayne, South Beach. Goldberg and Ramil. Talking Heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on Heat. Got it locked on Heat. Always locked on Heat. Keep it locked on Heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on Heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is David Ramil, solo host today. Wes Goldberg is off somewhere at the Cowbell Kingdom, roaming around the city of Sacramento. So I'll be recapping tonight's 102-93 loss to the Washington Wizards. Bad game for Miami overall. It seemed like they had something going there in the third quarter and fourth quarter. Were able to build a lead, but unfortunately just weren't able to sustain it. It was a poor performance by a number of Heat players. But let's go through a little bit about what happened tonight. So the first quarter started off well. Deion Waiters in particular looked very engaged. He was responsible for a lot of Miami's offense. He was able to knock down a couple shots from the perimeter. He was also looking to get a couple of teammates engaged early on. Started off with a real nice start there, and it really seemed like Miami might be able to ride that momentum. But Washington countered with some very interesting pick-and-roll action there, where they completely were able to dominate Miami as far as their offense was concerned. They kept Miami from running the kind of defense that they like to. A particular pick-and-roll action that they were running with Markieff Morris and a ball handler, either John Wall or Bradley Beal. It was particularly effective with Wall handling the ball as one of the quicker point guards in the game. Obviously, he was able to blow past whoever was on him. So basically what happened is that Markieff Morris would set a screen and then basically hold on to whoever was defending the ball handler. In a lot of cases, it was Goran Dragic. He would put an arm around him, create just enough of a space there where he could hold on to Dragic, and then Wall would blow past him, and all of a sudden there'd be a mismatch with Markieff Morris being guarded by Dragic. They would feed him the ball, and he'd either get a basket or, conversely, he would draw the foul. So it seemed like that was pretty effective. They were running that a number of times, and it really highlighted how Miami's defense could be exploited at times just because of the way that they switch onto opponents. It was very, very effective, and unfortunately it set a trend for later on in the game. So Miami was able to stay with it for the most part, but then in the second quarter, things got a little dicey. For the most part, Miami just couldn't get anything going offensively, with the exception of Tyler Johnson. He wound up scoring, I think, 13 points in the second quarter. He looked particularly good early on, was able to knock down a couple three-pointers. But unfortunately, he finished with just 15 points. So he was only able to score two more points on two free throws for the rest of the game. Finished 4 of 11. Four of those shots came, obviously, within the second quarter there. And unfortunately, he just wasn't able to get it going later on in the second half. So he seemed like he was engaged early, kept the Heat in it, but then the Wall-Bradley Beal combination, that Washington backcourt, really took advantage of Miami. They were able to push a lead, and I think they went into the half with the 13-point lead or so. Miami, much to their credit, came back in the third quarter and were able to take back the lead. They actually did not have the third quarter, as we've called it. They were able to keep up with the Wizards, actually managed to lock down on defense, really seemed to shut things down, made things uncomfortable. Tony Fiorentino pointed to a lot of 50-50 balls, meaning that Miami's effort was just better on diving for loose balls, diving into passing lanes, being disruptive on defense, and it really worked. And Miami was able to build a lead, and that continued to the fourth quarter as well. They actually managed to build a 7-point lead, and then unfortunately, at the 7-minute mark in the fourth quarter, they committed a foul, and that put them over the limit for the rest of the game. And so even though baskets were traded back and forth for the most part, Miami just really couldn't get anything going, any kind of sustained momentum there. With the occasional, hot shooting from Beal or Wall, it was just enough to create some space there. They built a lead, hung on to it, and then, a number of trips to the free throw line. Washington shot, let me see here, they shot 31 free throws in comparison to 19. They were 29 of 31, 93.5%. That is blisteringly hot from the free throw line. 16 of 19 isn't bad, but it's much less than Washington was able to shoot there. You could say that it was a poorly officiated call. I think it went both ways there. There was one play in particular when Miami had cut the lead down to 5 with, I want to say, about a minute and a half left in the fourth quarter. There was a missed shot. Josh Richardson caught the rebound. Outlet to a streaking Tyler Johnson, who dove to the hoop, went up for the dunk. John Wall caught up to him, and then it did look like a clean block at first, although Tyler Johnson protested quite vociferously. And then replay showed later on that not only had the dunk been in the basket when Wall blocked him, but Wall also committed the foul. So not only was there supposed to have been a goaltend call that would have given the Heat 2 points, but Tyler should have gone to the line as well for an extra free throw. Unfortunately, none of that happened. They kind of seemed to let all the air out of the balloon at that point. Just seemed really deflated. And Miami, just kind of let the game wither away from that point as Washington continued to build their lead and close the game. So the loss drops Miami to 6-8 after a 6-game road trip. Unfortunately, they fell into a bit of a trap game here. They just weren't able to build anything, or sustain anything for a long period of time. They had some nice runs there, some great effort, but unfortunately, again, not a very strong showing from start to finish. So I want to talk to you a little bit about drafts. That's right. Fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite app. It's called Drafts. Pretty simply, it's draft daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other ones. On Draft, you play real life stake drafts with other people, just like in your season long lead. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night. There's no management. Just set it, forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of the last minute injuries for you, so you don't even have to worry about that. Draft starts every couple of minutes, so you can join one even right now if you want to, right after you listen to this podcast. And the best part, you play for cold hard cash. Drafts start at just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. You don't have to sacrifice too much of your hard-earned pay. You can get engaged, make a little money. Who doesn't love that? No salary caps. You play in a real-life snake draft, just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. So come and join me on Draft today. You download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store or on iTunes or wherever and join a game in minutes. Or you play right from your computer on draft.com, whatever you want. It's so convenient. For a limited time only, this is the best part. All new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. You just have to use the promo code LOHEAT. That's LOHEAT. That's right. You play for a real money game for free just for using the promo code LOHEAT, LOHEAT, on your first deposit on Draft. So download it and get started today. So a couple of notes here. Aside from that pick and roll action, obviously, Washington is known for their perimeter shooting. They had a number of guys who were just able to get it going and keep it going. Bradley Beal, probably their best shooter from the perimeter, actually had an off game, 1 of 6. I think he was guarded by a number of players, mostly Josh Richardson or Deion Waiters. They kind of switched onto him pretty much, and they were able to make things difficult for him. But in the absence of knocking down those perimeter shots, he was actually pretty good from the free throw line, 13 of 14. So he's made a concerted effort of driving to the hoop, and it's really paid off. A lot of people used to say about him, his biggest weakness was that he was just so perimeter-based that he wasn't getting anything else going, didn't have a very well-rounded game. That was not the case tonight. Showed some aggression and diving to the hoop, and again, 13 of 14 from the line. So he finished with 26 points. John Wall, as always, probably a little bit underrated, but a guy that's been linked to Miami in potential trade talks or a potential target via trade. He finished with 27 points, 9 of 21 overall, 2 of 3 from three-point range, and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So he had a really big game. And they got some key contributions from Markieff Morris. He fouled out. He only played 22 minutes. He's been a little shaky because he missed a number of games to start the season. But again, He was particularly dominant in that pick and roll action. Very, very effective. Created a lot of mismatches at 6'10". He started power forward position where Justice Winslow, again, that was the starting lineup that we've seen over the last couple of games with Dragic and Waiters, Winslow and Richardson in the forward position. Of course, Whiteside at center. Winslow just didn't have much of an answer for him whenever he was guarding him one-on-one. And then, of course, whenever they created those mismatch on pick and rolls, it was a particularly bad situation there. And then Marcin Gortat didn't have a strong game. Normally, Whiteside really takes advantage of that matchup. It didn't seem like he was as engaged as he could have been. He had a strong game overall. That's Whiteside. Gortat only had 2 points, 0 of 6 shooting. He wasn't much of a factor, but they got some nice contributions from their bench. You know, guys like Jody Meeks, you know, a guy you don't even think about playing in the league anymore after a couple injury-plagued seasons with the Detroit Pistons and Orlando Magic. He's come on strong for Washington, provides some nice perimeter shooting. Kelly Oubre Jr., Wes's favorite draft pick from 2014, had a nice game, 7 points, 2 of 5 shooting. You know, again, key contributions, not much overall. That starting lineup is really where they dominated, and unfortunately, they just took advantage of those mismatches. On the Heat side of the ball, I'd say the player to really look out for was James Johnson. Hey, not the player of the game, but the player that probably impacted Miami the most negatively, unfortunately. James played 27 minutes, finished 1 of 5, 1 of 1 from three-point range, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, no blocks. Total of 5 points. The stat line doesn't tell the full story. He seemed timid. He just didn't seem very aggressive on trying to get his shot off. Doesn't seem particularly interested in getting anybody else going either. He just kind of was a passive observer of tonight's game. And unfortunately, this is the kind of game where he really needed to take advantage. He could have probably played more at the power forward position, taking over for Winslow, because I think James has enough strength to really lock down Markieff Morris if need be. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case because his offense was so weak. Spoelstra had to go to Winslow for a large amount of time, 22 minutes. And he played the same or just under the 27-minute mark that James played. So it was not a good matchup for him. Yeah, a good night for him overall, and he really, really struggled with his shot. Again, Tyler Johnson, 31 minutes. Spoelstra went with him early. It really paid off. He tried to go with him in the second half, and again, did not work out very well. He just really looked uncomfortable there, and it really wasn't anything that Washington's defense was doing. Washington is a very good team defensively. They're much better offensively, really. I think they're the second leading scoring unit in the NBA. So they put up points in bunches. And, Miami's defense wasn't really able to impose their will, as they say. And so they struggled with that. Tyler looked shaky in the second half. And when he had those, or when he had that missed dunk, that the refs did not call the goaltend on. He kind of lost control, actually was assessed as technical. I can't recall the last time Tyler Johnson was actually charged with technical, so that was pretty surprising there. Josh Richardson did not have a strong game. Defensively, excellent as always. Really did seem to harass whoever he was guarding, disrupted a number of passes, finished with just 1 steal. It's always surprising to see that Richardson doesn't have more steals because it seems like he gets a hand on almost every pass somehow. But he only finished 2 of 7 from the field. Finished with just 4 points. 0 of 3 from 3-point range. Had a number of open looks that he just couldn't convert. And he had to play 32 minutes because of his defense. Finished with a plus minus of minus 16. So, that was the worst for the team. And really did not have a good game. The backcourt led things pretty admirably. Dion had a strong game. 19 points on 7 of 18 shooting. 3 of 8 from 3-point range. Not as efficient as we'd like. Goran Dragic finished with 21 points, 9 of 17, 3 of 6 from 3-point range. But between the two of them, only 2 free throws. This is a problem, people. We've stressed it enough. Getting to the line, staying at the line, making sure that you do whatever is possible to draw the foul. It doesn't always involve flopping, but it does involve perhaps a little bit more selling of contact. And unfortunately, I just don't think that either the Philly Cheese or the Iron Shoulder are capable of selling these kinds of fouls on a repeated basis. So only 2 free throws for them, not nearly good enough in comparison to John Wall shooting 8 free throws or Bradley Beal shooting 14. So it's something to look out for, and it's a concern, to be quite honest with you. Overall, like I said, not a particularly strong game. some issues there. Spoelstra maybe could have done things a little bit differently with his lineup. Went with Wayne Ellington for 8 minutes. You know, only shot one of three for 3 points. Hit a three-pointer. Kelly Olynyk played 12 minutes. He seems like he's getting kind of forced out of the rotation. I'm not sure if it's defense. I'm not sure if they're just more comfortable going with Whiteside for prolonged periods of time. Obviously, Olynyk played much more when Whiteside was out for that five-game stretch, but his minutes seem to be going down less and less. Only finished with, like I said, 5 points on 2 of 4 shooting. And, you know, he could really space the floor, but I guess there are concerns about his defense, his physicality, and especially against a guy like Gortat, he probably could have taken advantage. Even the Gortat's backup, Jan Mahimi, I guess, probably could have taken advantage of Oubre, especially in the middle, you know, protecting the paint. That's not Olenek's strong suit there, so it's something to look out for. But that's pretty much it for tonight's game. Unfortunately, just not something that particularly memorable. You know, Miami was looking for something to come back to kind of show the fans that they were a little bit, you know, they were able to build on some of what we had seen during that 6-game road trip where they seemed like they were a little bit more engaged in wins against Utah and Phoenix. Unfortunately, they lost a little bit of momentum going against the Pistons, and they lost even more of that, I think, going up against tonight's game in the Wizards. You've got to be careful here because, unfortunately, they go on the road now and face the Wizards again this coming Friday. So that's something that we really have to look out for, whether or not Miami responds with a good game. I think they were able to win both their games at Washington last year. So how they bounce back from tonight's game, it should be an interesting one to watch there, you know, whether or not they'll be able to defend the pick-and-roll situation. They've got plenty of film now. They can adjust. And unfortunately, you know, normally the home team shoots significantly more free throws. That wasn't the case tonight. So I wonder if Washington's going to have even more of an advantage at the line. So definitely something to look out for. But that's all we have for today. Thank you, as always, for listening. I'm sure Wes will be back tomorrow or later on this week when we record our next podcast. But as always, you can send us mailbag questions for next week's mailbag at lockedonheat@gmail.com. Or you can tweet questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. That's L-O-H-E-A-T. Make sure to subscribe to the show to get podcasts automatically every day. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us. As always, say nice things about us. We really appreciate getting any feedback on the show. Theme song tonight, sung by CeeLo Keys. Our outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.